pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Hour's been a busy one today with all the conversation about last night in Houston. Let's get back to the calls, and Andon is in Georgia. Hello, Andon.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
We are doing great, thank you.
I'm calling about the game last night. I know you don't really want to talk about it, and I'm a big dog fan myself, so it hurt my feelings not to see Kirby Smart and the dogs there, but I will say I do feel like that game could have gone a little different had Michael Penix Jr. been on his game. I mean, he just didn't look like himself last night. He couldn't get settled into that environment. Granted, his offensive line wasn't doing a great job against that Michigan defensive line, but if he wouldn't have just missed so many plays, passes were way overthrown. He just looked real shaken up, and I don't really think you can blame it on them not being able to establish the run game, even with the running back being hurt, because he seemed to be and get enough help that if they could get the offensive line rolling, they might could have made that game go a different way, and that game really wasn't over until the last little bit, but in the fourth quarter, Michigan really ran away with it then. That interception kind of sealed it for me.
Thank you very much, Andon. Swamp Dog is up next.
Hello Swamp. There, Mr. Paul Feinbaum.
How are you?
I'm all right. You're the Johnny Carson of sports talk shows, and it's an honor to talk to you again.
Well, thank you.
It's the end of another football season, though. It's kind of a sad day for me. How about you?
Yeah, it's always mixed emotions. It's like the last day of school, except I always joke about this, but it's really not a joke. People say, man, football season must be crazy for you. It's actually today is crazy because we all have to start working now that football is over, because football season is the easiest time of the year.
Yeah, what do we do now? You know, you wonder.
I mean, now we have to what are we going to do now for the next couple of months?
Yeah, we'll talk about basketball, I guess.
By the way, the caller bracket will start tomorrow. Who the best caller is on the show. That's always our go-to.
Okay. Well, let me get to something I really want to talk to you about. And it's, I'm not like Darryl, the other guy from Georgia fan like I am. I'm a realist. I understand everything. I'm not complaining about Georgia not winning the national championship, even though I think they could. But I want to talk about I-Man and Auburn and Georgia. We both had our chance to stop Alabama from going as far as they went this year, but we didn't do it. I mean, let it go. I want I-Man to talk about some music. You know, football season's over. I know he loves music. Like me and you have talked about music before, and I know he has a music background. Get off of Nick Saban's back and just, you know, lighten up a little bit and talk about some music once in a while on here. And just quit hating on Nick Saban and Alabama Idols.
Swamp, I don't think he would. I don't think he would be happy if he wasn't hating on Nick Saban. I said this a couple weeks ago, but I'll double down on it. I-Man has a disease. It's called Sabanitis. Is there a cure? Does Dr. Fauci have a vaccine for Sabanitis? James is up next. Hello, James.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
I'm just calling. I'm an SEC guy. I'm calling you from Miami, Florida. It was hard watching the game last night just due to the fact that had Georgia was the best team in the country all year long, that's my opinion. Had Georgia played Washington, it would have been a blowout. Had they played Michigan, it would have been a closer game. They would have beat Michigan. And this guy that called earlier saying that he was from a Michigan fan calling from New York that he wanted another crack at Georgia, I'm like, no, you didn't. Because you'd have had the same scenario you had back in the Orange Bowl 2 years ago. I congratulate Michigan. They had a great year. They deserved to win last night, but they were lucky they didn't have to go through Georgia. That was just Georgia's fault. And if you come down to Miami with Luke, I want to hang out at whatever that club was. Bring the guy from Alabama that is a Miami Hurricane fan, JK, I think is his name.
Right,
bring him
sure.
down here with you. so that you guys could go to the club and that Luke and him could talk about the best college football team in Miami, which is the FIU Panthers, and they could celebrate and talk about all the things down here because there's no Hurricane football down here anymore. They could talk about FIU, and you could enjoy your eating that way, sir. You have a good day, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. You be well. You take care of yourself. Arthur in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Arthur.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
And I've been watching football since back in the 50s. I remember when Bear Bryant was coaching for Texas A&M and when Alabama got beat in the early 50s, and I guess in the Orange Bowl by some team, I don't know who it was, Maryland, by like 40 points. But anyway, I want to say, as somebody in Columbus, Ohio, that it was a rough night in Columbus. Everybody I've talked to said, we didn't even watch a down. I guess it was sort of like when Bama fans, when Cam Newton won that for Auburn, probably didn't watch it either. Well, we did. I watched it, and I would say this. By the way, I never rooted really for Nick Saban ever until the Rose Bowl game, and I rooted as hard as I could for Bama to win that one, and they came up just short. With that, I give a lot of credit to Michigan. They're good. They're strong. The guys came back, even though they didn't need to come back this year, and we hope that Ohio State can get back to what they were. So my question is, tell me about these guys who hit the transfer portal from the SEC. Tell me about Quinshon Judkins and why he left and why you think he's coming to why is he going to come to Ohio State, a team that everybody thinks is on the decline.
Let me talk about who he is first. He started the season the best running back in the SEC. He had some injury trouble. I think there may have been more to it than injuries, and you don't know, but you pick up stuff. I was
there
in Oxford this
is.
Year, and I just think it when so many players come in from the outside and you're there, remember, he was not heavily recruited. In fact, hardly anyone wanted him, and Ole Miss took a chance, and he blossomed. He ended up going to Ohio State. I think he will be a factor. He was already all SEC last year. He could be the dominant running back in the Big Ten next year. That's how good he is.
Well, that's what everybody's hoping. So why do you think there are always things.
Well, the reason I think he left, I think it. I'll just spit it out. I think it came down to money. I think he I think he got his feelings hurt with all the players coming in and said, you know what, I can do better.
Interesting. Tell me about the guy from Alabama. Tell me about the starting center who had such a rough time in the
McLaughlin,
Rose Bowl with the bad snaps. Yeah.
The book on him, he's an outstanding blocker. He's just not a great long snapper. That could be corrected pretty quickly.
Well, we hope it does. Ohio State has never done a lot in the portal except for Justin Fields. And they know now they got to change things up. You don't lose 3 years in a row to Michigan.
I was with Stephen A. earlier, and he came as close to calling for Ryan Day's firing as I've heard. And
yeah, I think he's too strong. He always is. He's got to be. But I'm one of the few.
I'll say this about Ryan Day. Forget his record. If he can't beat Michigan, he's not going to be there long.
No. Yeah. I think he's got a fourth year coming. They'll give it a try. And we do hope they'll be better, but we don't know. People at Ohio State are not used to losing. And so they don't have any tolerance for anybody who is not going to win them all. But he won a lot of games, and it certainly didn't help that he really got slaughtered in the fourth quarter by Mizzou. I mean, Mizzou's a good team, but Ohio State doesn't expect to lose to Mizzou.
No.
And Mizzou played a great fourth quarter, and they earned that one, too. So it's good to talk to you, and good to hear some of your thoughts on SEC players coming to the Big Ten.
Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. And we will take a short break. We have a lot to do, including John Bacon on last night in Houston.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's funny. Welcome back. Great to have all of you here. And let's get back to the calls. And Susie is up next in Georgia. Hello, Susie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call again.
Thank you.
I tried to get in late yesterday to vent on iMan because I was screaming at my TV and scaring my dog. But before I do that, I want to recommend a movie to you. I wanted to recommend it yesterday because you and your wife like watching movies. Have you ever seen About My Father with De Niro?
I don't think so.
It's hysterical. You really need to watch if you like to laugh. The gentleman that called and talked about iMan 2. I used to enjoy iMan, but it's really getting to be almost, like you said, a sickness. And to have that much hatred in your heart for someone and to be so every day to call and just rant and rave, and his voice is like getting like, I don't know, gives me goosebumps or whatever. It's almost like a sick voice or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, iMan, you can call and make such great calls, but, you know, I'm over it, and I think a lot of people are over it, except the guy that called you yesterday, I think from South Carolina, thought it was the best call of the day. I'm not a fan of John in Missouri, and John, I'm probably older than you are. Maybe we're around the same age, and I think I'm wise or whatever, but I have to laugh when you keep showing the, you know, Richard E. Nixon. It just makes me laugh, and he can't call and admit and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. So, you know, I hope his health is okay and he's not suffering from dementia or whatever. Like, you know, we get confused.
I don't think he is suffering from dementia, Susie. I think he's very aware of his faculties. The problem he has is that he's got a personality disorder and he needs medication. And I'll be happy to prescribe to him what he needs. But he needs it badly. Otherwise, he's gonna blow an aorta or something. Thanks for the call. Cheerleader is up next.
Hello there, man. It's so good to talk to you. I hadn't talked to you since the Rose Bowl. That was disappointing, but we got through it. And Paul, about Saban and him leaving, I just don't think he is. I just think they love Tuscaloosa. What do you think?
No, right now I agree with you. I think a couple weeks ago he may have been thinking about it, but I would say a lot of coaches are thinking about leaving at the end of the season. They're worn down. They haven't had a chance to breathe, and he now has had that.
Yeah, well, I hope he's getting a little chance to recharge and rebreathe and enjoy that beautiful home in Florida. And Paul,
cheerleader, which one of those homes?
Well, the one, I think it's in Jupiter.
Well, he's got, he was at Gasparilla the other day. That's his, I don't know,
well,
if, he's, I don't know if he's moved into the Jupiter home, so.
Okay.
He's got
well, Gasparilla, I think, is outside of Sarasota.
Yeah,
it's
so
all
you're
a
right,
beautiful
Sarasota.
Part of the country. Hey, Paul, let me ask you about our center or about centers in general.
Okay.
Does a center have, I know they have short snaps and long snaps, but do they have, are they pretty repetition when they center the same thing?
Well,
or do they change things up?
The center is very important because there's a lot of signals that go on from the center.
Yeah.
But most centers, by the time they get to high school, know how to snap it short or long.
Know how to snap a ball. I was just really disappointed in those plays that didn't go well for him throughout the year. And when you mentioned changing the subject, Paul, which we all do, you mentioned caller of the year. And I just have to say that I was so glad that I heard Ann call in last week. Might have been the most beautiful call you've received. And her voice, you could just tell she just oozed kindness and compassion. She just oozed it. And the way she talked and said, "Coach," that just tickled me.
She was great.
That just
she was so great.
Tickled me.
It's one of the great calls we have ever had here. Cheerleader, thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Brad is in Macon. You're on the air. Hello, Brad.
Mr. Paul, how are you, brother?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, it's no problem following cheerleader. She's easy on the eyes. Real nice lady. I watched First Taken up close, and I'm going to tell you, Paul, you handled that whole deal with a lot of grace and a lot of class, and you don't see that, but you did it, and I'm proud of you for it. I mean, you didn't run and hide. You did a great job on those shows.
Well, I have a theory, Brad, when you're trying to, first of all, this is sports. It's not that serious. We're not talking about,
right,
the war in Gaza or Ukraine. And don't equivocate. I see too many people, saw one today, by the way, who came on an airwaves where saying one thing would have ended the conversation, but they can't let it get past their own deficiencies, and they turn a bad story into a worse story. And I'm kind of sick of the story myself, and I don't mean that disparagingly, but in sports, all the things that lead up to the final result don't matter if you win.
That's right. But I tell you, Paul, Michigan got their national championship, and that's fine. It took you 27 years, but you got it, so you deserve credit for it. But just remember this. The SEC is the official supplier of the NFL, and we're going to be meeting up again, and you got a target on you this time, and we're going to be looking for you, and we're going to bring it. But, Paul, you enjoy the rest of your day, brother.
Thank you very much. Really good to hear from you, and let's check in with Bobby, who is up next. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Mr. Powell, how you doing today, bud? Appreciate you taking my call.
We're doing great. Thank you very much.
I got a question for you. I heard you get up this morning when you said that you didn't think Georgia could beat Michigan, and I thought about it, and you was probably right, but what I wanted to ask you was, do you think Georgia would have given up those two 50-something-yard passes and Brock would have thrown three or four interceptions?
Let me. I'm not trying to go back on what I just said, but I had a millisecond to answer that question, and I understand how good Georgia is, but I didn't think Georgia this year was as good as they have been in the past 2 years. And so I felt like Michigan was good. Michigan never deviated. The thing that impressed me the most about Michigan is I used to feel this way about Alabama. Like, why can't they put this team away, even though they're leading by seven with the ball? Michigan should have put Alabama away early, and they should have put Washington away early. But that's okay. They're still a really good team. And Georgia had some bad moments this year. And the biggest reason they had bad moments was they weren't quite as strong on the line of scrimmage. And Brock Bowers was banged up. A healthy Brock Bowers would have changed everything.
I agree with 100%. Can I give you one more comment, sir?
Please.
I think the reason Georgia didn't make the playoffs is two words, Heather Dinesh. She never gave us praise. She was always putting us down. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but I think she's trying to be a Laura Rutledge copy, and she can't carry Laura Rutledge's pocketbook.
Well, got me in an awkward position here.
I know, but she never gave us praise all year. I'm sorry, and she's a good reporter, but she never gave us.
The one thing I am appreciative though is at least you said Laura Rutledge's pocketbook. you could have gone beyond that. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Always appreciate it. Let's talk to Mark in Virginia. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today? Dr. Paul, listen, as a Michigan fan, clearly I have a personality disorder. I'm wondering what you can prescribe for me. I spoke with you last week. You mentioned about Michigan's line dominance, and I asked about their secondary and if they could hold up. I think they answered that question last night. Where do you think Sanderstil will go? He's been a heck of a player. And also, good job on coming on the Harbaugh train. And it takes a big man to admit not that you were wrong. What do you think about the possibility that these wins in this championship will be vacated? Because I think that would be wrong.
I think they're pretty low because. Because if Harbaugh leaves, I think it's going to mostly end this conversation. I think they know they can't probably make a strong case because the NCAA is so incompetent. We'll find out from John Bacon. He knows a lot more about it than I do, and he will join us next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the program. You can't talk about Michigan without bringing in the professor of all things Michigan, John U. Bacon, the best-selling New York Times author, the historian. John, this is a day I certainly didn't think was going to happen. Maybe you did, but we have talked to you so often during this odyssey of Jim Harbaugh. Just describe your feelings late last night when it finally happened.
You could see it happening bit by bit, game by game. Obviously, Michigan was getting more and more real with the whole prospect of becoming national champions. But man, until the whole thing unfolds, you don't quite believe it. And look, when they're ahead 20-13 for much of the third quarter and continually failing to throw a knockout punch, that is a classic Michigan thing. Going back to Bo Schembechler, we can count how many bowl games went down in that fashion. And they've got Penix, obviously. He had a real chance of getting back in that game. You still thought they might not do it. And then, of course, the Mike Sanders still with the interception. That's what finally sealed it. And then you think, wow, the whole thing actually happened. And I will say, Paul, in your defense, two things. One, with Greenberg this morning, you blew his mind. That's very hard to do, I think. Mike Greenberg's seen a few things. And you're a man of honor on that one. But also in your defense, look, when Michigan was 2-4 in 2020, and Ward Manuel brought Harbaugh back for half the price, basically, cut his contract in half. I don't know, 60% of Michigan fans probably would have been happy to see Harbaugh go at that point. So your position was hardly crazy at that point. So to see from that to this is one of the crazier sports stories I've seen in my lifetime.
How did it happen? What did he do, especially in today's current world?
Well, if you ask Michigan State and Ohio State fans, clearly it's Connor Stallions and sign stealing. But I think it's a little more to it than that. The big bet back in 2020 was when he basically gassed 6 of his 10 assistant coaches, including guys that had done a good job except for Ohio State. And that's Don Brown, defensive coordinator, guys like that. Good friends of his. He wiped it out and brought in a bunch of guys in their 30s. One guy was a high school football coach, Ron Bellamy, who played at Michigan. He brought these guys in to connect with the players. He delegated a lot of authority, and it gave the players more of a say in what they were doing. And that has worked amazingly well. And also Ben Herbert, it must be said. The strength coach, he is appropriately crazy. Show me a strength coach who's not crazy, and I'll show you a crappy strength coach. He's got the right kind of crazy. And they have pushed around. That's the biggest surprise to me, Paul. Seeing them push around Ohio State, seeing them push around Alabama, that I did not expect.
Talking to John Bacon. John, so many people who've only seen Harbaugh from a distance have seen him up close these last 2 weeks. And in Pasadena, he was kind of mildly annoying with some of his answers. But I have to confess, last night I started to buy in. What is there about him? I mean, he is an out-of-body experience. So you know him a lot better than I do.
Well, in overtime, my last book on Michigan football, I talked to his junior high school coaches and teachers and player and teammates and classmates. And, you know, he was a divisive figure back in eighth grade at Tappan Junior High School in Ann Arbor. This is not a new part of him. John Harbaugh has always been a uniter, and Jim has not been, frankly. But there are two Jims. There's internal Jim and external Jim. External Jim creates a lot of enemies oftentimes, and as his brother told me himself and quoted, he can wear out his welcome. Internal Jim works very well. The guys who know him well, the teammates and so on, his players, different Jim in my opinion. And those guys, you saw the players, man, it's not lip service. They really love the guy, and they're playing for him clearly. That team had 5 5-star players against Alabama's 15. That should never have worked.
And just as a personal aside, you've talked to a zillion more people, but I happen to have run into a couple weeks ago the young quarterback who's committed and signed with Michigan for next year. And he was in our studio one day, and I said, what's the deal with Harbaugh? And he went on and explained to me the personal relationships that the recruits had. And this guy could have gone a lot of places. You know this backstory. He was a top player in the state. But there's a connection. And I don't know. I mean, without knowing him very well, and I certainly don't, it's hard for the rest of us to see him. Which brings me to the question that's been asked a million times today. What's next for him?
Great question. And I talked to almost everybody involved, including family members and so on. And nobody knows right now. Nobody truly knows. He's enjoying this for 24 hours at least. 2 months ago, I would have said no-brainer, 95%. He's back at Michigan. But they dragged their feet on it. They dragged their feet on the contract. And what Jim always wants, as corny as it sounds, he wants to be wanted. And in 2010, when Dave Brandon hired Brady Hoke to come to Michigan, the 49ers sent Jim a box full of swag for his kids, all appropriately sized for all 4 kids. And that's what did it. It wasn't the money. In 2014, NFL offered more money than Michigan was going to offer, but Jim Hackett, then the AD, gave him the bear hug. And Ward Manuel and Jim, there won't be any bear hugs there. There's no love. There's no trust, frankly. The president wants Jim back very badly. The trustees, I think, do at least 6 out of 8, maybe 7 out of 8. But that's a problem. So, and also the Chargers, watch them. They're the most likely team in the NFL, I think, if they do go that direction. Spanos has got the money. He's always like Jim, and the Harbaughs have got a place in La Jolla, California. I still think it's 50-50, and it's worth noting that Jim's house is right above the hill from his dad's and mom's house, So there's a well-worn path for his grandkids to walk down to his grandparents. You're not going to get that in L.A. probably. So the intangibles go Michigan's direction. The money and the boxes not checked, which is a Super Bowl, would go the NFL direction, a toss-up. But trust me when I tell you, Paul, Michigan can still screw this up. And that is why Michigan fans can't have nice things.
That is so bizarre. Let me end on the family, because I don't care whether you're an Ohio State fan or a Georgia or Alabama fan. You couldn't help but be moved by the brother hug early in the game or before the game, and then Jack Harbaugh at the end. Tell us your thoughts as you watch that unfold.
Those three are genuinely about as close as any brother-father combination can be. It's sincere. And look, I mean, John Harbaugh's a little busy right now, I believe, with a certain NFL organization. He should not be cutting out time for that, but he did for his brother, and the hug was real. Those guys really do love each other. They protect each other a great deal. John takes exception sometimes when things are misquoted in the paper and so on about the contract talks and so on. And he's quick to come to Jim's defense. So those guys fought like cats and dogs John's entire life, Jim's entire life. But Jim would be the first one to tell you, if his brother were not a year and a half older, and Jim was always hanging out with John's friends, not Jim's friends. That's how he got to be so good. He's playing 2 years ahead of himself, basically. Without that, Jim said he'd never be a Division I quarterback. That's how it happened. So those guys are tight as can be. And that, back to the intangibles, your parents are 50 feet, your houses border each other. That intangible factor might be what sways Jim to stay in Ann Arbor, and his kids are going to St. Francis Elementary, the same school that Jim went to.
Great stuff. John Eubacon, so many rough conversations we've had about what is going wrong at Michigan. It's nice to have some good times today. Thanks, John. Always great to see you.
Always a pleasure, Paul. And as far as eating crow one day, I've eaten crow my entire life. I can send you recipes. Don't worry.
Thank you. I'm a little full at the moment, but thanks for the suggestion. We will take a break. We're coming right back.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, and good to see Larry up and running. We were afraid Larry was sick last week, but a lot of people asking about him. Larry, good to hear from you.
Yeah, man, I'm out of the hospital. Yeah. I was watched about 2 minutes of that game and tell it's going to be a blowout. I mean, there was no doubt about it. Washington shouldn't have been there. I would have picked Georgia, and Georgia, I believe if 19 hadn't been injured against Alabama, I'd been a little bit of difference. But to hear these people and hear you, you really disappointed me, man. You really did. When you said if Michigan played Georgia, that Michigan would win, that's kissing them Yankees' ass, ain't it?
I mean, no, it's just, no, Larry, that's what's called being honest and telling the truth.
Let me say what I want to say.
Say whatever you want.
He tainted to win. He tainted it with his damn cheating. I don't care what you say or what them damn Yankees say.
Why are you so angry, Larry?
Everybody, every Yankee.
Why are you mad?
Are you going to let me talk?
Yes. I'm sorry, Larry. Didn't mean
to interrupt. Every Yankee's been on that show, including Reese, said Alabama didn't have a good enough team to be there. They had a good enough damn team to beat a team that went 29-0. And to say that, and they went into overtime to beat Alabama.
Yeah.
And so you want to sit up there and kiss that cheating Yankees ass. I don't like it. I don't like it at all when you got to cheat. Hey,
Larry, let me know when I can respond, okay?
Go ahead.
And, Larry, I'll say this in the nicest possible way.
Go ahead. I ain't got no.
Why do I care that you don't?
Why
would I care that you don't like it?
I don't know. I'm giving an opinion, Paul. You give your opinion, don't you?
Well, Larry,
you said
Larry, let me ask you a question. Do you think that I had 6 months to prepare that answer? I was asked a question live on ESPN this morning, and I answered it.
I
answered it honestly.
Instead of you interrupting Reese when he said Bama didn't have a good enough game team to be there, and then you got these people, Yankee asses, saying, oh, we pushed them around. No, you didn't. No, they didn't.
Well, Larry, do you know the difference between the two of them? Larry, do you know the difference between the two of us?
I'll tell you right now, Alabama.
Larry,
did a damn good job.
Larry, your team got wiped out in the first half of that game.
Michigan couldn't have went the road Alabama went. They wouldn't have went halfway in the season. And you know that.
No, I don't.
So go ahead on and hug up to them Yankees, Paul, because that's the side you chose.
Larry, are we going to have a conversation, or are you just going to bitch and complain?
I'm just telling you, Paul, the truth. Did he not get caught for cheating? Yes or no?
Jim Harbaugh was suspended for two different things. And
yeah, he was suspended.
Part of the explanation was for the sign stealing, that anything that happens on his watch will cause him, by the league bylaws of the Big Ten, to be suspended. There was never his name. He was not specifically named in that part of the allegations.
He was punished.
You didn't listen to me, Larry, because the two of us. You know why we think differently, Larry? Because I wasn't
punished.
When I grew up, I wasn't taught to hate all Yankees. And do you know why I wasn't?
I don't hate Yankees.
Do you know why I was not taught that way?
I don't gotten a damn thing against Yankees other than football. And that's the way it'll be.
But Larry, do you understand the difference between us? Larry, are you going to talk to me, or are you going to just vamp?
I like his brother. I like Jim's brother.
I don't care whether you like his brother or sister or not. I'm asking you a question.
What?
I asked you why you think we are different about Yankees.
I don't think nobody has to be anyway. I don't care how other people are.
No, Larry, you view everything through the prism of Alabama football and the South.
I love the Southern football, and I love the South. Yankees don't impress me. They're too all up over themselves, and that's the way
it
is.
Okay, let's talk about, Larry, let's talk about that. What has your encounter been with Yankees that have made you so anti-Yankee?
The football, just the way they act.
Did some Yankee come in?
All of them think they're better than everybody. And
No, they don't.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Just Michigan.
It's just like
hey, Larry,
Larry,
do you ever stop talking?
Go ahead.
Question, Larry. On January 1st, 2024, in Pasadena, California, in a game between Michigan and Alabama, who won?
It wasn't 1904.
No, in 2024, a week and 2 days ago, who won the game between Alabama and Michigan?
Michigan did. It was a good game.
Why can't you accept, Larry, that Michigan is better than Alabama?
I accept that on that, but I'm not going to accept they got pushed around. I'm not going to listen to
all that. They did get pushed around, Larry. Jim Harbaugh outcoached Nick Saban. Every commentator I've spoken to said that.
They went into overtime, fine, Bob.
Doesn't matter. Now you sound like my wife.
The quarterback, freshman quarterback.
Telling me this morning how great Alabama was. And I said, no, we've moved on from Alabama. They didn't play last night.
They knocked Alabama. You're knocking them right now. You
and I both know that should have been a two-touchdown game.
I don't mind you winning. I don't mind them winning, but they always have to do it in a sarcastic-ass manner.
Larry.
They always have to degrade the other team to make
that sounds
really
like Alabama fans
look better.
Larry, repeat after me.
Don't give Alabama no
repeat,
credit.
Larry, will you repeat after me? Michigan.
You didn't give
just
Alabama
repeat.
No credit
Michigan. Michigan. Say that.
I'm not going to repeat BSU. Tell me, say they won the game.
No, I want
Paul.
You to repeat
that's
these words,
say.
Michigan.
We did not get pushed
no,
around.
No, Larry, you're Michigan. Just say Michigan, okay?
No, I'm not going. I'm going to say this quarterback got his
okay.
ass buried.
Randy, you be Larry for a second. Michigan kicked our.
No, you want to say that team that beat Alabama? Okay.
So you will not even say the name Michigan?
Nope. Sure won't, brother. How about that? And how about Roll Down Tide? Now, bye.
Ooh. Wow. Not going well in Larryville. We have more to come. Although I don't know how we why are we doing that? We will be back with much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.